Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
Genesis chapter 22, verse 14 says something very interesting. And I want to talk to you very quickly from my pastor's heart today about the choices you have. And it boils down to two views in which you will choose. You will choose to die looking at the giant that defeated you, or you will choose to look up and you will choose to decide to climb the mountain of victory and go after what God has promised you. And so Genesis chapter 22 verse 14 says, "And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide." How many of you need God to provide something? Say amen. "As it is said to this day, the mountain of the Lord shall be provided. The mountain of the Lord shall be provided." I'm here to tell you that God said to Abraham that if you want to go up higher, you got to go up higher so you can see things you can't see over here in the barren place of your life. The more you can see, the more you can have. And I know there's a lot of jokers on television that tell you that God's all about prosperity and they've got it half right, and they're probably, a lot of them are shysters. But I'm here to tell you that God has no intentions on you dying in the wilderness. God has no intentions on you being lukewarm. God has no intentions on you just getting through. He intends for you to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ever think, hope, or ask. And if you believe God has great things planned for you, would you say amen? I want you to understand that the first key to getting out of the valley and climbing the mountain of victory is your obedience. I don't care how much money you give. I don't care how pretty you are. I don't care how wealthy you are. I don't care how well you're received in the community. If you don't have obedience in your life, you will die in a desolate place. The only way out of a desolate place is to give your life fully unto God. Lukewarm people never get out of barren places. People who continue to self-medicate with alcohol and get drunk on Saturday night and are too inebriated to get up on Sunday morning and give God praise will never be delivered from alcoholism. But I want to tell you, if there's anyone in this place today that has the ability to say to yourself, "I'm not going to die here. I'm going to trust the Lord like I've never trusted Him in my life. I'm going to obey Him. I'm going to pray. I'm going to worship Him. I'm going to give Him my very best." You don't get out of a barren place by giving God your second vittles. You give God your best. You give Him, if all you've got is a nickel, you give God that nickel. If all you've got is a praise that's broken, you give God your broken praise. If all you've got to give God is just your last piece of breath because you've given up hope, you use that last piece of breath to say, "I will praise the Lord day and night. I'll enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise." With whatever you've got left, give it to God. Somebody say amen. You got to be obedient to God. God gives you a revelation. What you need to realize is that when God gives you a revelation about having more, when God gives you a revelation about not dying in the wilderness, when God gives you a revelation that you don't have to live in depression, when God gives you a revelation that you don't have to live in a bad marriage, when God gives you a revelation that you don't have to go and just have enough to get by, when God gives you a revelation that greater is He that is in you than he that is in this world, I'm telling you, Superman and Kryptonite can't keep you from the power of the Holy Ghost leading you to a place of prosperity. Oh, I go. Somebody give God a hand clap of praise in this place. It takes obedience to unlock God. You're not going to get out of a barren place without being obedient. God isn't going to bless your secondhand fruit. God isn't going to bless people who come to church when they feel like it. God isn't going to bless people who don't tithe. God is not going to bless people until they get obedient. And when you say, "God, not my will, but yours," you'll be amazed at turn my monitors up. You'll be amazed at what goes on in your life. You'll be absolutely amazed at how God will break your Jericho walls. You'll be amazed at how God will bring down your Sodom and Gomorrah. You'll be amazed at what God will do in your life if you can only believe that all things are possible. You got to have obedience. God can change your barren place into a place of blessedness. But what you need to realize is that God gives you a vision for more in the barren place. God gives you a vision of being the head and not the tail in a barren place. God gives you a vision that you can have children, even though the doctor said you couldn't. God will speak to you in a barren place and give you hope that doesn't make sense to the mortal mind. God will speak to you in your barren place and he'll give you hope in your barren place. But the question is, do you have the courage to get up from your barren place and head up a mountain where God can bless you, where you can be at peace with your family, where you can have more than enough, not just to get by, where you don't have to live with the frightening fear that cancer is looming around your door. I'm here to tell you, before the coming of the Son of Man, God intends to bless his church, and God intends for his church not to be anemic. He doesn't intend for his church to be apathetic. He doesn't mean for his church to barely get by. He's not coming back for a limp-wrist to church. He's coming back with a church full of power. You look at John on the island of Patmos, and something woke in a barren place. You look at Paul and Silas in the jail, praising God when praising didn't make sense, and something woke. God will give you the wisdom for victory in your barren place. And he'll multiply you in the midst of your barren place. But you got to decide today to disobey or stay in the barren place, or to obey God and go higher. You have a choice, death or life. You have a choice, keep self-medicating yourself. Listen, if you think God is going to do a miracle in your life while you're screwing around with ever Tom, Dick, and Harry in Western Kentucky, you got another thing coming. If you think God is going to get you out of your jail cell when you keep putting your own self in a jail cell by dating the wrong man over and over again, I got news for you. You get what you got because you always do, and you always get what you've always got because you're not doing anything different. But if you ever let the Spirit of God come into your life during a barren place, if you ever let the Spirit of God touch you when your life doesn't make sense, if you can have faith when you don't want to have faith, you can praise him when you don't want to praise him. And if you can get God first in your life, first, and give God your best. Do not wait to give God your best when you're in the favor of God. You give God your best when you don't understand him. You give God your best when you don't know where he's at. You give God your best in a desolate place. The seed of the Holy Spirit that is in you will rise up in you. You have been made more than a conqueror. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what he could ever think of, what you could ever think of or ask. For the life of me, I cannot understand why people in Western Kentucky cannot believe God for more. I pastored here for 18 years, 10 years as a child. For some reason, a lot of you have believed the lie of the enemy. You've believed that you just got enough to get by. You've learned how to sleep with your depression. You've learned how to lay down and be in peace with your giant. And God says, that's not the life I called you to live. My God, I'm going to start a riot in this place today. You've settled for too little. The God that spoke the cosmos into existence and threw the stars to where they developed art. The God that speaks to mountains and they melt like wax. The God that looked at a pregnant little 15-year-old and said, Holy Ghost, I'll come through her. The one that walks on water, the one that calms the sea, the one that heals at the pool of Bethesda and touches the blind man at the pool of Shalom. The God that does miracles. A miracle is not one leg growing longer than the other. A miracle is not some shyster on BET late at night. A miracle is when the natural laws, like gravity, I drop the ball and gravity takes the ball and it bounces back up and I drop it again. Those are natural laws. But if I were to bounce the ball and engage in the laws of gravity and a hand came out of nowhere and swooped the ball up, it doesn't mean that gravity is not a natural law. It only means that something supernaturally intervened into what was natural. and your life is a ball, and you're bound by naturalism as long as we're on this earth and the laws of fixed causalities. But I'm here to tell you, don't you ever get to a place in your walk with God and in your life on this earth to where you don't ever think that God can't swoop down and intervene in your situation. You see, natural laws say you can't walk on water, but God said, Peter, come here. Natural laws say you've got an issue of blood and you've spent all you had, but God said, touch the hem of my garment and see what I'll do. Natural law says you were born blind and your parents had sinned, but the supernatural law of God said, boy, I said, get up, and I said, see, see. Natural law says my baby's dead and she's 12 years old. But the supernatural intervention of God in his miracle working hand said, Tabitha, arise. Natural law says you're in a fiery furnace and the king is the one with power. And any human being that's an anthropos is going to burn because he's made of flesh. But God takes his hand and he intervenes in the naturalism. And he says, I thought we saw three men into the fire, but I see a fourth one. And it looks like the Son of Man. Hey, I'm telling you, you got a supernatural God that can give you more than what you're expecting this morning. I'm telling you, he opens blind eyes. I'm telling you, he'll make the lame walk. I'm telling you, he'll give you the job you're not qualified for. The problem is your expectation. You put God in a box. Satan beat the crap out of you and you don't even know how to believe for the next meal. You can die looking at what intimidates you, or you can look up on the other side and say, if I die, I'm going to die climbing that mountain of victory. You become like a eunuch. Why sit here until we die? But see, a lot of you got that little fight in you, but there's too many in Western Kentucky that doesn't believe that God's got a plan for you. Too many of you think God just wants to give you enough to get by so your lights won't get turned off. Too much of you believe that I'll have to just live with this disease. I'll have to live with this job that I hate. I'll have to live in this marriage that doesn't work. The devil is a liar. I feel the Holy Ghost on a holiday. God can multiply in your barrenness, but you got to decide to obey or to disobey. And then once you get obedience down, you got to have the right kind of focus. We need to learn to treasure what God treasures in the barren place to get out, to go up the mountain. I got to learn, number one, he's first. And I'm amazed at how many of you don't realize that. I'm amazed at how little prosperity it takes to get you to stay out of church. I'm amazed at how little it takes to remove you from the habit of the Sabbath. And when trouble comes, you ain't got nothing to call on and you haven't got no power with God to get out of it. But for those of you that are brave enough to climb the mountain of victory, I'll pick up my cross and I'll follow him daily. You're not going to get out without a daily walk. Did you hear me? I said you're not going to get out and go up without a daily walk. You give God your best when your back's against the wall, and then after he doesn't answer you, nobody can find you. J. Edgar Hoover and the FBI can't find you. But for those that dare to say, he's going to be first. I won't give him my sloppy praise. I'm not going to look at worship as something that gets in between of what I wanted to see, the Word of God. I'm going to lift up my hands. I'm going to give my best. I'm going to clap my hands and I'm going to be engaged. I'm going to give my best worship. I'm going to give my best giving. I'm going to give him my best attitude. I'm going to give him my best. Because I've made up my mind I'm going to follow him. I said, I made up my mind I'm going to follow him. I'm focused. Let me tell you one of the greatest revelations I'll ever give you in this pulpit. Your sin will keep you from your destiny. It's not that God doesn't love you, but he can't bless what he's promised to curse. And there's a lot of you that can't give God your best because you got hidden, unrepented sin in your life. You're prideful, can't nobody tell you nothing. You're sleeping around on your wife, and you think God don't care. You will die looking at what could have been. But if you ever get to the place where you declare war on unrepented sin in your life, there ain't a gate big enough in hell to keep you there. Obedience of living righteous before God, and obedience of living before the Lord with joy, and obedience to living the best life God's given you, and obedience of putting him first and honoring the Sabbath day first, not based on the weather, not based on what your options are. I'm amazed at how so many of you don't come to church, but when you didn't have what you got right now, you never missed a Sunday. It's tight in here, but it's right because we're going up a mountain. You got me. Three snaps and a rewind, Wanda. Anybody in the house? So obedience unlocks the door to go up the mountain. And then you have to realize you got to focus. You got to focus on putting God first. You got to focus on what God focuses on. You got to treasure what God treasures. You got to focus on the church. He says, abide in me. And you can't abide without the local church. You got to focus on the lost. You'll be amazed as when God begins to speak to you in a barren place about multiplying your favor in the barren place of all places. God will begin to speak to you, and the very people you hated, the very people that hurt you, the very people done you wrong, the very things you've been bitter about, God will somehow give you a burden for those people. You'll start praying for people, and I know it's hard to pray for people that hurt you. I pray for a lot of people that have been mean to me, and I don't mean it most of the time, but if I keep praying it, God will help me mean it. You got to focus and put God first. You're getting out of God what you're giving to God. You wonder why God isn't walking on water in your life? You want to know why God isn't healing the blind in your life? You want to know why you're living in the season of lack? Is because that's all the faith you got with God. And he's tricked you into having just enough rather than having more enough. And so help me God, if I was about to die in the next 3 minutes, I'd still look at every single one of you and tell you that God's got a plan to bless you. God's got a plan to bring you out. God's got a plan for you to be prosperous. God's got a plan for you to live in joy. God's got a plan for you to have more than enough. God's got a plan for you to have a daughter. God's got a plan for you to live in victory over that disease the doctor said is incurable. God's got a plan, and God is able to do whatever he wants to do. If you can only believe. Got to have that right focus. Got to have the heart for the lost. Got to have a heart for the church. And you got to embrace growth. Do what? It scares me as a shepherd to ask you this question. When was the last time you had a dream to stretch your stakes in your tent? When was the last time you had a dream for more? When was the last time you just wanted one more hour alone with God? When was the last time you just said, I wish worship wouldn't stop? When was the last time that you looked at your bills and said, God, give me more so I can spread the gospel? When was the last time you said, God, give me better health? When was the last time you were brave enough and bold enough to say, God, I know you've got good things ahead of me. When was the last time you said, God, you've blessed me. I'm in favor. Stretch my stakes out and give me more land, Jabez. When was the last time you prayed the prayer of Jabez? When was the last time you actually had hope that you could live in this place that seems so far away? When was the last time you actually believed that all things are possible? When was the last time your God was huge? When was the last time your God was powerful? When was the last time your God shined favor on you to the point you couldn't handle it? When was the last time you were bold enough to say, God, extend my stakes? Do not, precious little lambs, go to the Father and embarrass him by your little request. There is nothing I wouldn't give my children. Absolutely nothing. Except a sword, because Aiden will hit his sisters with it. Hear your shepherd. There is so much more God wants to do for you. There is so much more he wants to bless you with. He wants to take you to the land of favor. But only your obedience will unlock it. Only your dedication to the church and your dedication to the lost and treasuring what he treasures will cause you to climb that mountain. But for those of you that are brave enough to say, I'll try it. I'll make every one of you a promise right now. And let me just make sure you understand something. I don't need your money. I'm going to eat whether you give or not. But for those of you living in lack that are not tithing, if you'll tithe for a year, and I don't mean tip, tithe. In 1 year, I will give you all your money back if you can't see a statistical change in your life. It's on camera. It's on the recorder back there. I double dog dare you. Because God did not die so you could live in lack. He did not die so that prosperity would take you away. He died so he could bless you. So he could lift you up. So that he could take you to a place that you weren't raised into believing you could go. So many of you precious people, all you know is just getting by. And I'm talking to the rich ones. But there's a place in God. My life on it. If you just start obeying him again, we just say yes. First, best, all I got, it ain't much. I'll give you my broken praise, but it'll be the best broken praise you've ever heard. I'll give you my prayer time, and it's interrupted by kids and phone calls and worry, and I'm sleepy and I fall asleep in my prayer room, but I'm going to go every day. I will never let another worship service at Covenant Community Church pass me by. I will never show up without a Bible. I will never take another sermon in without having something to write down notes. Every day of my life, I will spend time with you every single day. I may limp there, I may crawl there, I may cry there, I may be broken there, I may be wanting to give up there, but I am going to give you my best. Because I got a feeling in the barren place that there's more. just on the other side of that mountain. Can you not believe that all things are possible? Oh, you a little faith. Exactly what it is in your life that you think God somehow cancels out the fact that you can be blessed? Do you think you've done something so bad, honey? No, you haven't. Do you think you've sinned so much that it's not for you? I hear the prophetic word of the Lord this morning. Believe. Believe. Hope. Have the faith. Expect from me. You're getting from me what you're expecting from me. But the one that's got the courage to get up and climb the mountain is the one that will see a place in Christ that most people never knew existed. How much do you want? You say, that didn't sound very spiritual. It's because you have listened to too many stupid TV preachers and your theology's bad. What do you want from God? You want freedom from drugs? He can do it. What do you want from God? You want a revelation? You want God to use you in Bible study? What do you want from God? You said God's not a Santa Claus. That's right, he's not. So what's the difference between what you want from God and God not being a Santa Claus? Obedience. When you obey him, you can expect good things from him. Some of you, all you've ever known, and I mean no disrespect, but all you've ever known is a trailer with a trash bag over the window. And your only dream is glass. I worked with a kid like that one time. Went and spent about $350, $400 on him. Taught him how to clean. Taught him how to get the dirt out from underneath his fingernails. Made him a resume. And he went right back to the pig pen. Now he walks through town begging to borrow someone's lawnmower. If the president of Iran looked at my friends in the Iranian underground church a week ago and said on national television, America is not our greatest enemy, the house church is. If the president of Iran knows, along with the Ayatollah, that the seed, just the seed, of Christianity is so powerful to bring about such monumental social change in a structure, what's your problem? See, we're all full of excuses. You realize in Iran right now, my friends and your friends that you helped bless financially a couple weeks ago, if they're in Iran and there's four people in a room, and they find one Bible, you're sent to prison and you're tortured. And how many of them do you have laying around that you're not reading? Those jokers are literally tearing out pieces of scripture and hiding them in their butt cavity so they'll have the word of God to read in prison. And you wonder why you have no power in your life. You wonder why you have no victory in your life. You wonder why you're in lack. You wonder why there is no prosperity in your kingdom. It's because you have not sold out and surrendered to God. Now, there are seasons. I get that. But I also know that seasons stay into long seasons out of disobedience with sin. I know it. You got to get rid of what's eating you. Bitterness, unforgiveness. And you got to realize that God wants you to go higher. When you go higher, you see a vision you've never seen before. You see a family that you never had. You see a marriage that you didn't know could exist. You see a job you knew you weren't even qualified to get. Do you know what the favor of God will do for you? So help me God. It'll give you favor over a job and you're the least qualified in the room, but the favor of God is on you, you will get that job. It gives you a revelation, it gives you a provision. But so many times we limit our view. Come on up, Jeremy. We limit our view. So how do I limit my view? Listen carefully unless you have to leave, but please be still. You limit God's ability to help you climb that mountain when you take God's promises and you get impatient with them. And you strike the rock before you see the promised land. You limit God's view in his manifestation of his supernatural power, which is what you got to have right now. Because you have no faith. Faith activates the hand of God. Faith activates the hand of God. Obedience and faith will blow up any prison. Obedience and faith will conquer the greatest mountain of depression. Obedience and faith will take you to where you can't go on your own. We limit God in our life because we lack the courage. We limit God in our life because the anointing of God lacks the room. What do you mean by that? The anointing of God is the presence of God. But do you realize the anointing of God is not just for comfort during troubled times? The anointing of God, which is the presence of God, will carry you into favor and expand. It starts out as a mustard seed. I can't go another mile. And it rises up and says, "You uncircumcised Philistine that blasphemes the name of the Most High God." And it takes what it has in its hand and let God guides it. But it begins to grow. The favor of God, the anointing of God, the presence of God grows. It touches your children. It touches your home. It touches your work. It touches your mind. It touches your emotions. It touches everything in your life. We limit him because of the lack of dreams. We limit him, and listen to me very carefully. There are some people, you know, for the last 3 months, I just got to be honest, I have preached this message. In the last 3 months, this word from the Lord, and I have thought, I wish so-and-so was here, and I wish that family had been here, and I wish that family had been here, and boy, they needed to hear this, and this one needs to hear that. And I realized they're going to die in the wilderness. And not a dang thing I can do about it. Because your talent can take you to a place your character can't keep you. And the worst thing in the world is to make it out of a barren place into a season of prosperity with no character. Because you will not stay here if you arrive from your talents and the arm of your flesh. But give God your character. Give him your body. Present your body as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Ask God for wisdom. Ask him for fruit. Ask God to give you the faith that has a view. Ask God to give you the faith that focuses on impossibilities. Ask God to give you the faith that is beyond natural. Ask God to give you a faith where your spirit is stronger than your flesh. How do you get faith? Faith is developed through trials. Make it through it, soar like an eagle. So, climb on Mount Sinai this morning. Let God give you the revelation you need. Climb on Mount Carmel and let God give you the faith and authority you need to call fire down from heaven. Climb up Mount Moroni and lay your Isaac on the altar. Climb up Mount Olive and go to your Gethsemane and pray. Climb up the mountain of transfiguration and give God your worship. Climb up Mount Hermon that's icy and cold and stay faithful to God. Climb up Mount Bethel and keep church first in your life. Climb up Mount Calvary. Climb up Mount Ararat and see the promises and the rainbow and the covenant God makes with you to be prosperous if you obey Him. Why don't you climb up Mount Nebo correctly? Because you could be Moses and God says, stop, no further. What do you mean no further? I made it through the Red Sea. I lived in the desert 40 years with Jethro. What do you mean, stop? Your obedience will be the only thing that takes you to the next level. How many of you gotten anything out of this? Well, what about the altar call? Be a good time for an altar call. Sure would. When those doors open, it'll begin. Go take your Bible and take your knees, and at least 4 times out of 7, before I meet you again next Sunday morning, where God is first in your life, and establish a time of prayer and a time in the Word, at least 4 times out of 7, you're dismissed as a victorious people. I love you.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.